Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we will be breaking down England and the English national team on their journey to the 2018 World Cup. Joining me as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and tonight, special guest, Mr. Harry Harris, writer from Vovel and Dirty South Soccer, to break down the English national team. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. I want to start off with you, Harry, and I want to ask you your direct ties to covering the English national team and your relation to England in general.
So, obviously being born in London, grown up a huge England fan, they've made me cry many a times from my childhood, and somehow every 4 years I still get just as invested as the previous World Cup. So I'm ready for this one, and ready to finally win one, hopefully.
Yeah, you mentioned the big mention of winning one. I think, you know, I obviously want to go in a little history lesson as we talk about the World Cup record. They're only the second team with the longest streak, well, second longest streak in all of the world, next to Uruguay. England have not won a World Cup since 1966, which they won evidently on home ground. Since then, they've either made a quarterfinal, round of 16. Fourth place was their best finish since that win in 1966 in Italia 90, very famous World Cup for a lot of English fans. But now we fast forward to 2018, and obviously, you know, and Harry, I'll pose the second question to you. I mean, obviously, you know, every 4 years, we always tend to put maybe England as one of the favorites, maybe put them as overwhelmed, a team that will overwhelm and under-impress, you know, a team that, you know, can go from high expectations to low expectations. It changes every 4 years. You know, I mean, heading into this World Cup, obviously comparing it to generations beforehand, that sort of golden generation that Sven-Goran Eriksson had during the 2002 and 2006 cycle. What was your take on this English team heading into this World Cup in 2018? Obviously, you know, it's a new generation with a lot of new up-and-coming players coming up that we've seen week in, week out in the Premier League. So I just want your take of this English team specifically heading into this World Cup, and what, you know, how do you feel about them?
So I think this current England setup is full of talent. And I think it's one of the most talented groups we've had in a long time. Maybe since that golden generation of Frank Lampard, Gerrard, and Rooney and Scholes. I think people in England have become so, is the word, desensitized to the England national team and so just disinterested with them because of their constant underwhelming performances and failures, that I don't think they want to get excited about this group of players. But I mean, you have some genuine world-class players in this current squad that can impress on the world stage and help England make a run.
Now, Harry, I want to jump in. You know, speaking of making the run, obviously we had to qualify for the World Cup. And for the 2018 World Cup, England worked their way through Group F in UEFA rather impressively and rather untested. 10 matches, 8 wins, 2 draws. Only blemishes came on the road to Slovenia and on the road to Scotland. Only conceded 3 goals in this particular run of qualifying. You know, but looking at their goal scoring power, you would think that you would see a lot of goals out of this English side. And although they did lead their group with 18 goals during the competition, Harry Kane also led the group with 5 goals scored in their group. However, that was only good enough, I believe, for tied for 14th in World Cup overall. And we're talking about Harry Kane now these days in a much more grandiose level. We're putting him on that top 5 striker list around the world. I think one thing that was impressive about this English side was that they did spread out their goal scoring among 12 different goal scorers in 10 matches. So there's something to be said there. I do want to look at first about your thoughts on their offense, the way they attack, and the way they did it through qualification. Is it something that will translate for them into the World Cup in Russia?
I think with Harry Kane specifically, he's got a lot to live up to. Mainly with his club form and the history of strikers with England. Obviously, Wayne Rooney used to thrive with England, but never really did it in big tournaments except for Euro 2004. And so now I think with Harry Kane, with him going forward, is obviously right now he's injured, but he should be back mid-April, beginning of May, which means he'll be in pretty good health for the World Cup, and I think he has to be the guy that leads England forward. We've seen him linked to Real Madrid. He's obviously established himself as one of the best strikers in the world and one of the best goal scorers. And so now he needs to carry that over to the England national team and be the focal point for this team.
Okay. Now let's look at it from the defensive side of the ball. And Rob, I'm going to come to you first on this one. Like I had mentioned, they only conceded 3 goals in World Cup qualifying, which is rather impressive, given that they played 10 matches. I mean, they're practically giving up nothing. But going forward, do you feel that this defense has been tested enough in qualifying, or do you really need to see a lot more of them coming out of the friendlies and the international breaks leading up to the World Cup to really have a little more confidence in their abilities to defend?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think, and this is no disrespect to teams like Slovakia, Scotland, Slovenia, Lithuania, and Malta. You know, when you're looking at other groups in this qualifying process, you know, they had tougher opponents. You know, an example we can go is for France, Sweden, Netherlands, or possibly, I don't know, Serbia, Wales, Austria, or Spain, Italy, any of those groups. I feel that if that was the case for this English side, I think that would have been more impressive and really to be a team that's really battle-tested. But now, yeah, as you said, Joe, I think the friendly is coming up. I believe they have the Netherlands, they have Italy, Nigeria, Costa Rica, which will definitely prepare them for their group that we'll be talking about in a bit. I just feel that if they can get good results out of those 4 games before the World Cup and really, you know, keep a clean sheet or maybe concede a goal or two within the next 4 games, I feel that would be good enough heading into this World Cup. But of course, you know, as I said to various countries who are in this process, you know, qualifying for the World Cup is one thing, but getting into the World Cup and playing is another. So I think, looking at more of a broader aspect, I don't think they're that tested yet. I still feel there's something more that they need to prove. And maybe for these friendlies coming up, that if they do, you know, put on a good performance, good performances in these friendlies, that we might be able to see the best English defense moving forward. So, of course, as we said, we talk about the nitty-gritty, and we're going into their group. Group G, you know, they're grouped in, and this is an order of the games that they'll play. They'll play Tunisia on the 18th. Panama on the 24th, and Belgium on the 28th to finish it off. And I'll start with you, Joe, on this one. I think many people want to point out to the straightforward group of having it to be England and Belgium. But for your take on this, I think many people want to put this into the group of importance. But do you really see this English side beating Belgium and even winning the group, you know, which could potentially be a deal breaker heading into this knockout stage, potentially playing one of those opponents that they could have in that group EH group as well. So, Joe, I just want your take on this group. And, you know, is there that potential of England beating this really, really talented Belgian side?
You know, on the first hand, I don't see it. You know, Rob, you and I actually spent some time looking at the Belgian national team just a couple of days ago as we, you know, prepare for all of these shows that we're doing, previewing these teams. And we're talking about the midfield, if you remember, Rob. And we were kind of picking out what players we would take in a midfield. You know, and leaving names off, and I know he's kind of fallen out of favor, but Marouane Fellaini, who's very familiar to English fans, he's a guy that is, you know, I felt was going to be off this team, and even if he made this team, would not really feature in this team. Then we talked about Raja Nainggolan, who in the most recent call-up list was actually not even listed on the list, but somebody that could easily, you know, make this team play and play well, even start. So for me, I think England as a midfield is going to have a very, very difficult time. You know, although they are quite talented, if you consider Raheem Sterling a midfielder, you know, I've got Adam Lallana who's in there as well. Obviously, Eric Dier and Dele Alli. They've got talent in the midfield, but I just feel like the midfield that Belgium presents is much, much stronger and going to be difficult to break down. So, Harry, I want to kind of throw that at you and get your thoughts on the England-Belgium matchup and can England pull it off? And what would you look at if they did pull it off? And what would you look at if they didn't pull it off?
I think Belgium, obviously on paper, have arguably one of the best squads in the world. I mean, you're looking at Eden Hazard and Kevin De Bruyne, Thibaut Courtois in goal, and Romelu Lukaku. But I think a lot of people are kind of buying into that Belgium hype again with the squad. And it's the same thing we saw in previous tournaments. The manager, I don't think Roberto Martinez is the ideal manager to take them forward. He never really inspired me or impressed me at Everton. So I think that's going to be that's the one positive for England going into this game. With the midfield, obviously you mentioned the likes of Marouane Fellaini, who probably is on the fringes of the squad, while Raja Nainggolan is probably won't even make the squad because he's fallen out of favor with Roberto Martinez.
Right.
So Belgium's midfield is just full of talent, and England are going to struggle to cope with that. But I think England have enough firepower going forward to where they can pull off a result. I just don't know if England do it, because it's a big game in a major tournament, and we know how that usually goes.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out the firepower going forward, because we're talking the likes of, like we said, Harry Kane. We're talking about guys like Danny Welbeck, we talk about Raheem Sterling, Daniel Sturridge. We've got some firepower there. Even Jamie Vardy, who I believe will end up making this team. There is certainly enough meat there to, when you look at the striker list from, from Belgium, you're looking at guys like Romelu Lukaku, depending on where you put Hazard, if you call him a striker. But I think the depth of English, the English core of strikers, could possibly overturn this result and give England what they need to finish, as long as their strikers do finish, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's tons of talent in this England squad, as I said before. It's just about if Gareth Southgate can fit them all in a formation where they can benefit off of one another, and if they can carry over that form that they've been in with their club, like Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling's been one of the best players in the Premier League this year. If they can bring that form over to the summer, then I think England do stand a good chance against Belgium and potentially winning the group.
Right. Now, this is good, because I want to get into our players to watch. And I do want to – I'm going to open with the one major question we'd like to ask our guests, is what name is going to possibly make this English team that we might not have heard of, maybe even a player that was on the successful U17, U20 teams that recently competed in competitions and won them. What names from any of those groups might we see on this team that might actually make a difference? I'm going to start with that question because it's tough to give the American people or even all of our listeners around the world an English name, because they're all so well known. So if you give me, do you have a name that maybe will feature in this World Cup, or maybe will make their name known in this World Cup?
So I think there's two names that kind of stand out to me. The first one is Ryan Sessegnon, the winger / fullback / whatever position he plays with Fulham. His development has been in a way of Gareth Bale, the way he's gone from fullback to kind of moving forward. And he's just been lighting up the championship this year for Fulham. I think that was the stat a couple of weeks ago that said Sergio Aguero was the only person in England that had scored more in 2018 than Ryan Sessegnon. And he's still very, very young. He still hasn't made his debut for England. But I think with the form he's in the championship, I don't see why Gareth Southgate doesn't take a gamble on him. England have always brought along a young player in the World Cups to kind of learn and learn the ropes and maybe feature. We've had Theo Walcott, Luke Shaw in 2014. I don't see why Ryan Sessegnon doesn't make the 2018 squad to boost that firepower up front and kind of be the hidden gem for England's squad. And then I think the second player would be Alfie Mawson at centre-back. England have an array of centre-back options, but I don't think a lot of them are solid enough. I don't think Chris Smalling and Gary Cahill are good enough anymore. I think John Stones and Harry Maguire have earned their place, but I think Alfie Mawson, despite Swansea's disappointing season, I think Mawson's impressed, and I think he has what it takes to make this England squad and fight for a starting spot in Southgate's back three if he opts to go with that formation.
I'm glad you also brought up Stones and Cahill in this one, because I was going to ask you a defensive question. Obviously, we saw them perform very, very well in World Cup qualifying, as we mentioned previously. But looking at, you know, John Stones, looking at Gary Cahill, maybe there's not enough faith in either of those two players as center back. So what is your defensive back line? I mean, obviously, we're going to see Kyle Walker. I don't see how we don't. I feel like Danny Rose is going to be there as well. So who's going to be your center back pairing if he does go to a four-man back line?
So if he goes to a four-man back line, I think the fullbacks kind of pick themselves. Like you said, I think Walker is nailed on. He's been just world-class for Man City this season. And then on the left, you're kind of spoiled for choice. I think if Danny Rose is fit, then he's the obvious choice. But Ryan Bertrand's been brilliant as well. And so England are okay at fullback. At centre back, I think John Stones takes one of the positions. I think he's got enough talent to earn himself one of those spots. He started the season well for City, and since his injury, he's gone off the boil a bit. But I think he's more than talented enough to take one of those starting spots. And then to partner him, I think he goes with Harry Maguire. Both of them are those ball-playing centre-backs. They're good on the ball. Neither of them are notoriously slow. Both of them are strong on the ball. So I think that would be the pairing. But I wouldn't be surprised if James Tarkowski from Burnley gets in with a shout, because he's just been brilliant for Burnley this season, and he's in the recent England squad, and so I don't see why Tarkowski doesn't challenge Maguire for that second centre back spot.
Now, between Stones, Maguire, and Tarkowski, they only have 25 international caps between them, and Tarkowski has not earned a cap yet for the English national team, according to my information. So, could inexperience be a a hindrance to them and how they play?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think experience is going to be key for this England squad. But the experience they have at centre-back, I just don't think is good enough anymore. Like Gary Cahill isn't even in the recent England squad because he's lacking in games for Chelsea. So I think he's being phased out initially. Chris Smalling has plenty of experience for England, but I don't think he's exactly good enough. But these young center backs that are coming through for England, they have more than enough talent. They have to get the experience from somewhere. So I think getting Tarkowski these caps in these friendlies leading up to the World Cup will be crucial, and kind of blending him into the squad. But I think they're good enough to lead the back line. It's just about whether the nerves kick in on the big stage.
Absolutely. Let's also look at the goalkeeping situation, because obviously that one's a little touch and go for England. You've got Joe Hart, Jack Butlin, Jordan Pickford, Fraser Foster. I think 2 years ago, Harry, if we had asked this question, the answer would have been Joe Hart without a doubt, without discussion, as to who the starting goalkeeper would be for this team. But now that decision is really in question. So who do you see as the starting goalkeeper, for that first match against Tunisia?
I think he goes with Jack Butland. Okay. I think Jack Butland is quite far and away the most talented England goalkeeper right now. He hasn't had the best of seasons, but at the same time, none of the England goalkeepers really have, besides maybe Nick Pope. So I think Butland gets the nod to start in England's opening game. And I think he ends up taking Jordan Pickford and Nick Pope as his backups. I don't think Joe Hart makes the squad. I was a little confused as to why Hart was in the current squad. I don't really think there's a need for four goalkeepers in a friendly squad. And as we've seen this season, Joe Hart and West Ham have just had a nightmare campaign. So I think he falls out of favor with the England squad this summer. And I think they go with three fresh faces in Butland, Pope, and Jordan Pickford.
Interesting. Now, lastly, I want to go back to Harry Kane a little bit, because obviously we've seen him, perform incredibly well over the past couple of years in the Premier League. We saw him have a good series against Juventus, although it be it in a loss. But this will be really his first world stage appearance. I mean, obviously played in the Euros, but in terms of world stage in the World Cup, this will be his first time at this particular competition. So do you see him cracking under pressure here? Actually, I'm going to ask you, Rob, first. Do you feel, Rob, like he's going to crack under pressure, or there's the potential for that? Or do you feel that he's gained enough experience both internationally at the club level, domestically at the club level, and then even internationally with the Euros in World Cup qualifying that he should be able to shrug that pressure off?
I think he should. I have no doubt in my mind that this World Cup would be his breakout year. Well, I think it's already been a breakout year, but I think he'll have a sensational World Cup. I feel that he's already proved himself. And, of course, this is a player that we've had to criticize, unfortunately. Many people wanted to put him as a one-season wonder when he was at Spurs and had that wonderful season, but he just continues to score goals. I mean, my God, I mean, he's scoring, what, 20, 30 goals a season for Spurs in the last 2-3 years. It's incredible, and I think this player really has something special for him that, you know, he will be England's talisman heading into this World Cup. I have no doubt that, you know, after inheriting Wayne Rooney's status as that talisman, I just feel that, you know, he is going to be the main player for this English side. I mean, this is someone that, you know, we've seen, you know, he's only 24 years old, but he's already has 12 goals in 23 games. And, this guy could potentially be England's top goal scorer in the next 10, 15 years. You know, it's incredible to think about that. But, you know, he really has the potential to be a superstar. The question, of course, will be, you know, how his mind will be, because of course, you know, it's a World Cup year, and we've seen this with other players, you know, how maybe a big transfer happens before or after the World Cup, you know, how that will affect him personally. But I think, you know, when everything is set on him, I think in the big games it's going to be really questionable, because, you know, Spurs haven't really won anything as of yet with Harry Kane. But I think that is going to be the big question mark. Can he perform in these big games? Because we saw it. It wasn't as shown, as demonstrated, like he did in Juventus, that Champions League, and obviously, you know, for the Premier League, even though it's a tough one to really assess. But I feel that that's going to be the big question mark. I think in this group, he'll be fine, but, you know, when it comes to the possible knockout stage matches that he has to face, you know, can he perform under pressure? And this goes for all the English players. Nevertheless, I think he's just one person out of the whole 23-man squad that we have. I mean, it's going to be really interesting, I'll just say. I mean, yeah, I'll pose the same question to you, Harry. What's your take on Harry Kane and how that pressure of heading into this, basically his first major tournament, like a World Cup, will end up being like for him?
So I agree with your initial point. Is every single standard we've set for Harry Kane so far, he's seemingly just knocked it out of the park. It's, can he do it for more than one season in the league? And he's done it. Can he do it in Europe? And he's done it. So now the question is, can he do it on the world's biggest stage? We saw his Euro 2016 performance, and it was disastrous. But at the same time, the entire England performance was disastrous. So I think we can give him a bit of a pass there. This summer is going to be crucial for him career-wise. As you said, there's big transfers looming. And this is his first big chance on the world stage. So at 24, he has the opportunity to take the world by storm and kind of cement his place as one of the best players in the world. I think he performs in this World Cup. I think he gets a few goals under his belt in the opening couple of games. Going into that Belgium game, obviously he'll need to perform against what's likely going to be his teammates, his club teammates in Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld. And so going into the knockout stages, barring an England just capitulation in the group stage, going into the knockout stages, it's going to be crucial to see how he performs against potentially Brazil or Germany or someone like that. And I think he has what it takes. He's performed against the big sides in the Premier League. He scored against Chelsea and Arsenal and Man City and so forth. He impressed against Real Madrid in the Champions League and Dortmund in the Champions League and even Juventus in the Champions League. So I think he can do it in the big games. It's just about whether he performs to his best and whether his England teammates step up and don't really leave him isolated up front.
Definitely. I think that's the big case for a lot of these players, for him to help support Harry Kane in this big type of tournament. Now, Harry, I mean, you know, I'm going into my next section. It's obviously going to be predictions. It is really tough to pick this 23-man squad, and I'm actually going to take an article from ESPN They predicted the squads and who's possibly heading into this World Cup for Russia. And I'm just going to mention a few of the names and, quickly, pick out a player who you think, won't make this World Cup. I mean, what's your take on it? So, as I mentioned, this is an article made by ESPN by the writer Liam Tolney. He predicted the preliminary 23 as follow: Butland, Pickford, Hart, Walker, Trippier, Cahill, Stones, Maguire, Phil Jones, Gomez, Rose, Bertrand, Dyer, Henderson, Winks, Lallana, Sterling, Lingard, Dele Alli, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Harry Kane, Vardy, Rashford. Harry, I mean, do you see anything that probably stands out that shouldn't be on this team? And if so, who do you feel should indeed make this trip to Russia?
I mentioned before, I don't think Joe Hart gets into the squad. I mean, he's been a great player over his career, both for Man City and even for England at times. But I just can't see him getting into the squad after the season he's had. And I think that third goalkeeping spot goes to Nick Pope from Burnley. I think Burnley obviously just impressed everyone this season, but Nick Pope has kind of been the main man between the sticks for Burnley, and he's done more than enough to get into the squad for me. And on the other hand, I think I can't think of Harry Winks getting in the squad over Jack Wilshere. I think Wilshere's performed more consistently than Winks this season, and he's gotten more games than Winks. The Spurs man's been kind of shoved to the side with injury and with Wanyama and Dembele in front of him. So I think Wilshere gets in the squad, and I think he has to be in the squad with the amount of talent he has. There are a few more players that are probably on the fringe, like Gary Cahill, I think, is on the fringe, and Phil Jones. Both of them have been struggling with injuries and game time recently. So the last couple months of this season is going to be just huge for most of these players. But I think the majority of the England squad picks itself. And then I think there's maybe 6 or 7 spots left for these fringe players that are fighting for a spot in the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joe, I'll pose the same question to you. Is there anything that stands out and perhaps a name that maybe shouldn't make this list and who do you think should be replaced as well?
I think the Phil Jones one is a good call there, Harry. I do think that he eventually does not end up on this squad. I think Cahill probably, brings enough experience and reliability to make this team, and as we talked about before, even start. But the one name that, and it's the reason when I had my players to watch segment, it's one reason I asked this particular question. It was the goalkeeper question, because someone like Joe Hart, who was really held within such high esteem as goalkeeper, both at the club level when he was at Manchester City, and even started out well at Torino when he made his move to Italy a couple of years ago, starting all the matches for the national team, that sort of thing, to have him totally fall off the face, not even to where he's going to be relegated to a bench position as the third goalkeeper or something like that, but to be completely left off the bus going to Russia, I think is going to speak pretty loudly to that. So for me, Joe Hart is the name that I think most will initially be shocked at, because it's, quote unquote, end of an era type stuff. But at the same time, I think when you look back at the performances, especially the recent performances, Rob, that is that's going to be the name that's going to stick out. But then everyone's going to go, yeah, you're kind of right. So, let's move forward, I guess, from that point and go to our final question. And that is, the here and now and then the fantasy land. So England, obviously, a reasonably manageable group in Group G. Difficulty with Belgium, of course, which we've alluded to already. Tunisia is a team that can pose some problems, but they should probably get past. And Panama, even though, making their first World Cup, probably won't be expected to do much. So you'd expect England to move on in this tournament and get to the knockout stages. So Harry, my first question to you is, what would be a successful World Cup for England this year? What do they get to? What level do they get to be considered a successful tournament for them?
I think you're looking at maybe a quarterfinal spot. It would be a quote unquote success for England. Obviously, we've disappointed in the last couple World Cups, or since 1966, basically. But I think getting to the quarterfinals with this young group of players, and then with the younger generations, the under-20s, the under-17s, who have just been hugely successful recently, I think blending them in the future, plus a squad that just finished in the quarterfinals, would be great moving forward for England. And I believe if they were to win Group G, they would be on Brazil's side of the bracket, which is far easier than being on the side of Germany or Argentina and so forth. So I think it's crucial England win the group. Mm-hmm. And who knows what they do? It'll depend on who they draw in the knockout stage. But I think quarterfinals is definitely possible for England.
And I think even moving into that that round of 16 matchup, they're going to see either Poland, Colombia, or even Senegal. And I think all three teams are so different that they pose different challenges to whatever team comes out of Group G. So it's going to be difficult whether you're Belgium or England. That round of 16 match, I think, is going to be a little on the unpredictable side. There's really nothing that that challenges the team coming out of Group G that is similar to what you see in Group H. So I think it could be tricky, but again, winning the group, getting out of that Germany-Argentina side of the bracket, provided they hold up their end of the bargain, I think is definitely the wisest thing to advance as far as you can with a definitely a softer field. But let's look at it this way now, and let's ask the final question of the night. Obviously have not won the tournament since 1966. Always coming into this tournament with great, great hope and always, for lack of a better term, ending with great disappointment because they haven't raised the trophy since. So this year, 2018, in the biggest dream world for all English fans, they raised that trophy at the end of the tournament. What would that mean to the people, to the fans of England?
It would mean the world. You'd see millions of grown men crying because there's so many men and women out there that say, oh, we don't care about the England national team anymore. They disappoint us too much. But if they were to win the World Cup, it's difficult to put into words because I've seen my club be successful. And obviously it's brought me to tears on many occasions, but never quite had that same feeling with England. I've had hopes from when I was a kid of England winning the World Cup. And there's been times where there's been teams where maybe they should have won the World Cup, like specifically 2002 or 2006, and they've just failed. So I think in 2018, if England were to lift the World Cup, it would be one of the biggest sports stories in a long, long time, just because you're looking at the country that invented the rules for association football and the father figure of the modern game. And so it would be indescribable for the people of England for them to see the World Cup being lifted by someone like Harry Kane or whoever's captain. And not only that, it would get under the skin of the Scottish and the Americans, and there would be nothing better than that. So.
Absolutely. So, and especially with the Americans not even being there this year, which has caused a whole other set of problems here in this country. It certainly would ruffle a few feathers around the world, but it would be something to see to have England certainly lift that trophy at the end of this tournament. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and breaking down the English national team on their journey to the 2018 World Cup. Again, from This Week in Football, from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.